title of this sermon is Preparing Your Child for Courtship. You can take out your notes and follow along. Preparing Your Child for Courtship. We're going to get back to 1 Timothy in a couple of weeks. But every once in a while, I like to take time to talk about some important things that are not necessarily in the book of the Bible that we're studying. But I like to revisit this. I talked about this last in 2011. And so I thought it was time to bring this out again and talk about this. Probably need to do it more often because there's so many parents and so many kids in our church. But whether you're a parent, a grandparent, a parent-to-be, or if you're just single, this is very applicable to you, very helpful to you. I learned this stuff and was blessed to be taught a lot of this stuff well before I got married, well before I had children. And the earlier you can learn this stuff, the better. And so if you're thinking, I'm not near there yet, that's good, that's good. And so you'll learn a lot this morning that'll be helpful to you. As a parent, though, your primary mission is to help your child become fully devoted to Jesus for life, to give your child the knowledge they need, the character qualities they need, to help them make the wisest choices possible that will set them up to be a lifelong, fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ. And one of the most challenging things that your child will have to face growing up in your roof is the idea of dating. Those dating years, those single years. It's something that's going to be very challenging for them. At some point, and some children, it's earlier than others, your children are going to develop an interest in the opposite sex. They're going to start to desire romance. They're going to develop crushes. Some of their friends are going to have boyfriends and girlfriends. And your kid is going to have an opportunity to be a boyfriend or a girlfriend. And they're going to have questions. They're going to need your help. They're going to need you to guide them through these years. What do they do with these feelings and these crushes and these attractions and these pressures that they're feeling? What do they do with all that? And with your help and with the right approach to dating, then their single years can be a time of purity, can be a time of great preparation for the future, can be a time of emotional peace and harmony. And their single years, they can really be set up for a healthy dating experience and a lifelong healthy marriage if you handle the dating years right as a parent. Or you can take a hands-off approach as a parent. And you can try to just sit back and say, well, kids will be kids, and just let your child do the normal thing that's going on in our culture. And your child's single years and their dating experience can be very, very difficult. It can pretty much affect the rest of their life. And so it's a very important period of time. Now, for many of you, if you're parents or grandparents, you're so far removed from those adolescent years, those middle school years, those elementary school years, those high school years, that this doesn't sound very interesting or relevant to you. But put yourself in the shoes of a fifth grader, of an eighth grader, of a tenth grader. This is the thing. This is the main thing going on in their life. It's the biggest thing they're thinking about. Who am I going to date? When am I going to date? What kind of person am I going to get married? Who am I supposed to marry? How do I know if they're the one? These are huge issues for our kids. So you need to be, as a parent, really well equipped to help them walk through this very challenging time. In a nutshell, I'm going to teach you a different approach to dating this morning. It's an alternative to what is normal in our culture. I'm going to call it courtship, which is an old-fashioned word for dating, just to distinguish between old-fashioned dating and this alternative that I want to teach you. In a nutshell, this is what it means. It essentially means this, that with courtship, your child does not date until they're ready for marriage. That's what you're helping to teach your child and to walk your child through. With courtship, in a nutshell, your child doesn't date until they're ready spiritually, emotionally, financially, educationally, until they get to a place that they're ready for marriage. That's when they begin dating. Until then, that means, kids, no dating in middle school, no dating in high school, maybe no dating in college. It just depends. Each kid is different. Each family is different. But you're probably not going to be thinking about dating for years until you're ready to get married. Once you're ready to get married, then you start thinking about dating. The Bible says in Romans 12:2, and you probably know this verse well, it says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. This verse is not in your worship guides, just on the screen. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. Let that sink in just for a moment. But let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Remember, we're supposed to be transformed into the character of Christ. We're in the process of doing that, becoming Christ-like as Christians. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. And so Paul, who wrote this letter to the Romans, he says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. In other words, don't just do what's normal. Not without thinking first. Don't just do what everybody else is doing. When it comes to dating, in your child's dating life, don't just do what's normal. Don't just do what the world is doing. Why? Well, because normal may not be healthy. What's normal may not be right. What's normal may not be wise. Our goal as Christians, and I have to have this, you're going to have this conversation with your kids. Our goal as Christians is not to be weird. All right? Sometimes my kids wonder that. Are we trying to be weird? Or are we on a mission to be weird, Dad? Because, man, we're winning if we are. That's not our goal. We're not trying to be weird, but we are trying to be wise. And we're trying to be Christ-like. And here's something that a little phrase that I've helped my kids to understand this with. The phrase goes like this. If you want to be wise, you have to be willing to be weird. We're not trying to be weird, but we are trying to be wise. If you want to be wise, you have to be willing to be weird. And if you want to be Christ-like, which is our goal, if you want to be Christ-like, you have to be willing to be different. And you have to teach your kids that. You have to be willing to be different. Normal is not working. Normal is way overrated. Don't try to be normal. Try to be like Christ. Ephesians 5, 15 through 16. We've looked at this passage a number of times. Andy Stanley has really talked a lot about this passage. And so we know this passage well. Ephesians 5, 16, 15 through 16. So be careful how you live. Be careful. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. So Paul says, be careful how you live. Again, don't just blindly follow the culture. Be careful. Don't live with herd syndrome. You know what herd syndrome is? A herd of cattle. A bunch of cows, they just follow the crowd. Herd syndrome. Not even thinking, I'm just going to do what's normal. Just the path of least resistance. What's everybody else doing? That's what I'm... Don't live with herd syndrome. Be careful how you live. He says, don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. So as Christians, this is an important concept that we learned from Andy Stanley. I love this. As Christians, we're not merely called to do what's right. Now, we are. But we're actually called to an even higher standard than merely doing what's right. Our standard not only is right, that's a good foundation, but we're supposed to live wisely. Not only do we say what's the right thing to do, but then we say, but what's the wisest thing to do as well? We're not allowed as Christians just to settle for avoiding sin. Well, does the Bible say my kids can't date? Well, remember, we're not just looking for what's right or wrong. We're looking what's the wisest, with your dating life, what's the wisest thing to do? And he says, make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Make the most of every opportunity. That means maximize or seize the moment. That means get the maximum value of your single years. Single years are a short window of opportunity. You're going to be married most of your life, most likely. Those single years are a small window of our opportunity. So get the maximum value is what we want for our kids. Get the maximum value out of those years. And then the last statement he says is the days are evil. The days are evil. In other words, the vast majority of the people in our culture are not following Christ, are they? The vast majority of the people in our culture are not asking what's the wise thing to do. The vast majority of the people in our culture are just living, just existing in terms of wisdom, and they're not following Christ. And so what that means is if you just do what the world is doing, what's normal, you're probably not going to end up where you want to end up. Your kids are not going to end up where you want them to end up or where they're going to want to end up. You're not going to end up where God wants you to be if you just follow the culture, because the days are evil. So we have to be careful. We have to live wisely. And normal dating, modern dating, dating as usual, is not wise. Let me give you three reasons. Number one, The three problems with modern dating. I didn't put this in your worship guide. You'll just have to jot this down. But you need to jot this down if you're going to have this discussion with your kids. Number one, and this is stuff that I talk to my kids about often. And my kids are young. You're thinking, I'll wait until they're 10th grade. No, no, no. Jot these down. Number one, the problems with modern dating is that God created romance only for marriage. God created romance only for marriage. Now, at first glance, that's probably shocking to you. You're like, what? Hang with me just for a moment. The purpose of modern dating, of dating as usual, is not to find a mate. That's not why sixth graders date. The purpose of modern dating is simply to enjoy romance, to enjoy romantic companionship. God created us for romantic companionship. It's a wonderful thing. But guess what? You start having desires for romantic companionship way before you can do anything about it, or way before you're supposed to do anything about it. And so the reason why the world dates is not to find a mate, not to find a spouse, just to enjoy romance. But the problem with that is romance is only for marriage. Romance is a part of your heart, a part of your life that's supposed to be between you and your spouse only. You're not supposed to share that side of your life with anybody else. That's for you and your spouse. Now, God doesn't want you to be going from one romantic attachment to another. God doesn't want you to have a new romantic fling every 3 to 6 months. That's not biblical. It's not wise, not healthy. Let me ask you, would it be wise for me to have multiple romantic attachments? I need a yes or a no, a nod or something. What do you think? Why not? Well, because you're married, Andy. Absolutely. And so, as a married man, I'm supposed to only have one romantic attachment, my wife. She's the only one. That part of my heart is only for her. Duh. But what makes us think the standard is any different if you're single, if you're a single Christian? What makes us think the standard is any different? That part of your heart, even if you're single, is only for your future spouse, that romantic side of your life. Proverbs 5:15, it says, drink water from your own well. Share your love only with your wife. Share your love only with your wife. In the Bible, romance is always, always, always connected to marriage. They're not two separate phenomena. Romance is always connected to marriage or to those who are right about to connect, to tie the knot. There's no such thing as romance between two godly people outside of the context of marriage. It just doesn't exist. Now, it's very easy if you've never thought through that to sit there and object and say, well, I don't know. I know the Bible says you don't want to go physical with somebody who's not your spouse, but romance, I mean, what's the... That brings us to number two. The second problem with modern dating is that emotional attachments naturally turn physical. Emotional attachments naturally turn physical. This is what you want to communicate to your kids. This is going to communicate to them the why. Why don't we date yet? This is why. The emotional naturally leads to the physical. The emotional naturally leads to the physical. The way that God made us, this is not right or wrong, this is just the way God made you, is whenever you open your heart emotionally to someone, you naturally want to give yourself to them physically. When you get involved romantically, your body wants to say, me too. It's just natural. When you give yourself romantically, the body wants to follow every single time. And that's what's so dangerous about normal dating. We're telling two 12-year-olds, two sixth graders, go get a girlfriend. It's okay. You guys can just fall in love. I mean, they're falling in love in sixth grade. And they're talking on the phone, and they're getting so attached. But listen, you wouldn't ever want to leave those two 12-year-olds alone together for any amount of time if they're in love. Why? Because the body follows the emotions. Once they fall in love, once you get emotionally attached to somebody, it's so natural for your body just to get involved. Now, psychologists know this. Marriage counselors know this. This is how adulterous affairs happen 9 times out of 10. You need to know this, by the way. This is good information for you married couples. Very rarely does a married man or a married woman set out and say, I'm going to commit adultery. Very rarely does that happen. Instead, what happens is they don't guard their heart. And at work, with somebody on your spouse's side of the family, with a neighbor, somebody at church. You open your heart and you get emotionally attached to someone, emotionally, romantically connected without guarding your heart, saving that part for your wife, being very careful, very guarded. You get emotionally attached and then the body just comes next. It's so natural, it's almost irresistible. Once you open that door, it's almost unstoppable. Almost unstoppable. And so many marital affairs have happened like that, and you'll ask, what happened? What went wrong? I don't know. We just started talking, and she had problems, so I was a good listener, and she was a good listener, and we were just there for each other during a hard time, and then one thing added to it, and then it became an adulterous affair. That's the way it happens. And so we're not setting our kids up for success. As Christian kids, our kids' goal is going to be, I want to stay pure and reserve myself for my spouse. But what we're doing is we're saying, and sometimes even encouraging, you can go ahead and fall in love and get romantically attached to other kids your age and stuff. Just don't go any further than that. But that's like giving a 2-year-old a bowl of ice cream and saying, don't touch. Don't touch. Just look at it. It's not going to happen. And so we're making it very difficult on our kids. Number 3, one more problem with romantic attachments, with dating prematurely, with modern dating, is that romantic attachments distract from God's priorities in the single years. The purpose of the single years, and we want to communicate this to our kids, is to prepare for marriage. It's to prepare for parenthood. It's to prepare for a successful career. It's to prepare to be a mature Christ follower for life. It's to get a good education. God has all these priorities, all of these goals that he wants to accomplish in your life during those single years, during those growing years. All these things that he's trying to accomplish in you. It's a very important time of life. Dating is a huge distraction. I don't know if you've ever been in love. When I fell in love with Lydia, it destroyed me. It wrecked me. I mean, it swept me off my feet, and that's an understatement. It totally dominated me. When I fell in love with Lydia, I was in my last year in college. I was a youth pastor. But let me tell you something. I was probably not a very good friend. I had a hard time focusing on school, had a hard time focusing on being a youth pastor, probably wasn't a very good son, probably wasn't a very good friend. All I could think about was one thing, Lydia. All I wanted to do was just be with her, hang with her. That's it. Now, I couldn't think about anything else. Anybody can relate to that at all? Anybody been in love? Yeah, it totally ruins you. And you know what? That's a funny, cute thing. Unless it's happening every 3 to 6 months from middle school to high school through college. You're only meant to fall in love, hopefully, one time in your life, and that's with the person you're about to get married to. It was a huge problem for me. You know what I did? I fell in love with Lydia in August. Such a huge problem, I married her in February. Problem solved. That's what you're supposed to do. Amen? Problem solved. That's the way it's supposed to work, okay? And so it's a huge distraction. I had a friend, a classmate in high school, 10th grader. He was absolutely in love with his girlfriend. I mean, listen, these kids are playing, they're playing marriage whenever they're in middle school and high school. I mean, they're so in love. His girlfriend broke up with him. He went home, he got a shotgun, pointed it at his stomach, pulled the trigger. He killed himself. 10th grade, Jake Broussard, Como High School. I mean, these romantic attachments are a big deal for these kids. And they're a huge distraction. It's way too early in life. That's not what we're supposed to be focusing on. So what I want to do is I want to teach you about courtship. I want to teach you just the basics. We're just going to scratch the surface. And then at the end, I'm going to give you a couple of resources that you can buy. You can go to the internet or go to the bookstore. You can buy these books and learn more about courtship to teach your kids. Here are the basics. Number 1, the purpose of courtship. This is totally different than dating. The purpose of courtship is to find a mate. It's to find a mate, a spouse. And so, remember, with modern dating or normal dating, the purpose is simply to enjoy romantic companionship. Just to enjoy romance. Enjoy that part of life. You know, that's the stuff of life. And just enjoy that. With courtship, though, only reason I'm dating is if I'm looking for a spouse, so I'm ready to find a spouse. That's why I'm dating. And so, what that means is that if you're courting, you're not going to date just for fun. I'm not really looking to settle down right now. I'm just looking to, you know, just for somebody to hang with. In courtship, no. You don't date just for fun. And you don't date someone if you know that they're not marriage material. Would you ever marry that person? No, I don't think so. Probably not. Well, what are you doing with that person? We're just having fun. In courtship, you would never just date for fun. You would never just date somebody who's not potentially marriage material. Because the purpose of dating or courtship is to find a mate. That brings us to letter B, which is timing. Timing. Again, don't date until you're ready for marriage. This is the key. This is probably the most controversial and the toughest part about courtship. The purpose, or don't date until you're ready for marriage. And the reason for this is multiple, but if you find the right person prematurely, way early, then what you're faced with is a long, long period of waiting. And what happens? Do I need to stress this again? What happens whenever you get romantically attached to someone? Sexual purity becomes virtually impossible. Virtually impossible. There's only two ways to stay pure once you become romantically involved with someone. I mean, I'm talking about you're in love. Only two ways. Get married as quickly as possible or wear a chastity belt. Kids, ask mom and dad about that one. All right? So you don't date until you're ready for marriage. Also, if you're dating before you're ready for marriage, you're not making the most of your single years because you're focused on that relationship. It'll consume you. As well, if you date before you're ready for marriage, you may end up getting married before you're ready for marriage. How many people have you seen like that? I know you have family and friends that end up marrying the wrong person. They were dating before they were ready. They got married before they were ready. They ended up marrying the wrong person or way before they're ready, before they're mature enough, financially, physically, emotionally, spiritually. It leads to a lot of mess. And so what this means is that if you're committed to courtship, you're probably not going to date in middle school. You're probably not going to date in high school. My kids will not date until they're 40. And so but it's different for every family. Just kidding, kids. Letter C. Courtship basics. Friendship first. What you want to teach your kids about this kind of dating, and this is for single adults too. Friendship first. You get to know someone before courting them. As much as possible. Now, in normal dating, in modern dating, you meet someone that you're attracted to, so you begin dating and get to know them. And then you're emotionally attached, but then you find out we're not compatible for marriage. But you're already emotionally attached, so it's very difficult to break it off. A lot of people get married, but they're not compatible. They're not spiritually compatible. They don't have the same vision for life. But friendship first, get to know each other. A big idea in courtship that you want to teach your kids is to guard the heart. Guard the heart. When you open up your heart emotionally, romantically, it's very difficult to stay pure. Also, it leads to devastating heartbreak whenever you have to break up with someone. And so the idea that we want to teach our kids is save that part of your heart, that part of your life, reserve it as much as possible for that one person that God has picked out for you. So the idea is to get to know somebody as much as possible before you even begin courting. You want to find out, remember, since you're only dating to get married, you want to find out, is this somebody a potential mate before I even begin courting? So you want to find out about their family, about their history, about their vision for their life, where they're headed in their life, what kind of life they want, what kind of job are they going to have, and on and on and on. Let's find out as much as you can to see if you even want to begin dating. Letter D, this one is huge, and this one is very, very old-fashioned, very countercultural, but so important. Honor. Get your parents' blessing. This is what we want to teach our kids. Get your parents' blessing. This comes from Ephesians 6, 1 through 3. It says, children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord, for this is the right thing to do. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you, and you will have a long life on the earth. In courtship, you don't begin dating until you have the blessing, the permission. You don't even begin dating until you have the blessing, the permission of both sets of parents. This is so important. So what this means is the boy, he's the pursuer, he's the initiator, she's the responder. So the boy, the young man, he finds a woman that he's interested in, he's gotten to know her first, he's interested in courting her, so he does not go to her. Instead, he goes to her father. And he says, hey, I would like to begin dating. Courting your daughter. And so what happens is in courtship is the young man dates the father before he dates the daughter. He gets him flowers. He takes long walks on the beach with the father. He tries to win the hand of the father so that he can get the father's permission to date the daughter. And before he even asks her father, he asks his parents, "Hey, I like this young woman. I'm interested in dating her. What do you think, mom and dad?" Get their permission first. You want to get your, listen, and this is something to for the kids, listen. God has put your parents in your life for your protection. They're much, much smarter than you, much wiser than you, just because of the number of years they have under their belt. And this is one of the most important decisions you'll make in life is the decision of a mate, a spouse. And so you want to get your parents' insight, input into this. Place yourself under their umbrella of authority and protection for this. All right? And by the way, one of the reasons for this is whenever you get married, you're joining a new family. Amen? So you want to make sure that they like you and that you like them. This is the one opportunity you get to choose your new family. A lot of people think you don't get to choose your in-laws. Oh, yes, you do. Certainly you do. If you like the girl but you don't like the in-laws, drop the girl. Drop the girl. Amen. I'm telling you. Tell your kids that. Make sure you have an opportunity. Only fall in love with a girl or a guy if you like their family. It's so important. If at all possible. It's wisdom that's not necessarily biblical, okay? A lot of this is. Letter E, quick release. This is the last principle to teach your kids, quick release. Break things off as soon as it becomes clear that you're not compatible. So you get into a courting relationship. Remember, the purpose is not just to have fun. The purpose is not to enjoy romantic companionship. The purpose is to figure out if you're supposed to get married. And so as soon as you realize after one date, after two dates, we're not compatible. You know, we're going to different, she's a great person, but I don't think we're meant to be together. You break things off as soon as possible so that you don't waste their time, you don't waste your time, you don't waste God's time. You can move on with finding the person that God has in store for you. Let me tell you guys my story real fast. Fortunately, I had the opportunity of actually living this out. And the reason is because I learned courtship as a young man, the principles of courtship. I was exposed to it at my church, just like you. I was so blessed to grow up in a church where I was exposed to this stuff through books, through my church. And so somewhere, I think it was probably in late middle school, I was exposed to the ideas of courtship. And so I made a commitment. I'm not going to date. And so I didn't date all through high school, all through college until my third year. I just didn't date. I wanted to wait until I was ready for marriage. Until then, I just wanted to focus on God and God's vision for my life. Well, about my third, I was finishing up my last year in college. I felt the Lord saying, green light, it's time to look for a wife. I think I was begging the Lord, please, Lord, can I look for a wife? And he said, yes. All right, so now is the time. And so I started actually opening my eyes and thinking, okay, are any girls that I want to pursue? Well, at the time, Lydia was a member of the same church as me. She was a volunteer in my youth group. We were getting to know each other. And I became attracted to her, and so I purposefully started to get to know her. Like, I got really purposeful about this, and we played a lot of tennis together with mutual friends. And so, without being too obvious, I really tried to get to know her, and I asked her, what do you think about this? Who are your parents? What are your parents like? Where are you from? Where are you headed in life? What's your vision for life? What do you want to do as a career? You want to be a career woman or a stay-at-home mom? What do you think about homeschooling? What do you think about church planning, being a pastor's wife? I mean, seriously, I asked her all this stuff way before we even started dating. And the more I asked, the more it seemed like the Lord was saying, green light, green light. So eventually I got to the point where I was like, you know, I wish God would just write these things in the clouds for you, but he doesn't. So I was like, I think I want to date Lydia to find out if we're supposed to get married, to see if this is the one. And so what did I do? I went to my parents. And I said, Mom and Dad, I like this girl. I would like to begin dating her. What do you think? Actually, just to let you know, kids, you know this already, but there was a girl before Mom that was pursuing me. It was very flattering to be pursued. And so I was considering getting into a dating relationship with this woman. This was right before Lydia. And so I started to get to know her. All the same questions that I asked Lydia, I asked this girl. And there was a couple of red flags. She was a Christian girl. There's a couple of red flags, though. So I actually went to my parents and discussed it with them. And I said, here's the pros, here's the cons, and I'm not sure if we should begin. And it was clear to me and my parents, unfortunately, no. You're not going to be able to pursue. Wouldn't be wise for you to pursue a relationship with this woman. With Lydia, it was completely different. My mom and dad were both like, yeah, go for it, okay? So what did I do next? I arranged a meeting. Well, the next thing I did was I went to Lydia. I said, Lydia, I would love to begin dating, courting you. Can I have your permission to talk to your father, give your dad's permission? She said, please do. That was her exact words, please do. And so I arranged a meeting between my parents. This is old-fashioned, isn't it? I arranged a meeting between my parents, Lydia's parents, and me and Lydia in DeRidder, 2 hours away. We all drove over there. This is the first time I've ever met her parents. Hi, I'm Andy. And we begin talking. The men go to another room. And me and my dad and her dad, and I talk, and I explain, this is different, but can I begin courting Lydia? And he says, sure. You know, this is totally new to him. I gave him a book on courtship to kind of understand where I was kind of going with all this and what this was all about. So we began courting, dating. This lasted about 5 weeks. After about 2 weeks, we both pretty much knew we're supposed to get married. You know, we need to get married. We dated for 5 weeks. And then I asked my parents, I said, y'all, I think I want to marry this girl. Is that, what do you think? They said, go for it. And so I went to Lydia's father, and I said, can I marry Lydia? He said, go for it. So then I had to ask Lydia, and she said, definitely not. And I'm just kidding. She said, yes. And so after all this, we got married 6 months later. We wanted to get married right away. Her mom said, please give me 6 months to plan a wedding. All right, this was moving very fast for her mother. And so we got married. That's courtship in a nutshell. The good thing is that I didn't even know, but Lydia had been taught these similar principles in her church growing up. She hadn't dated anybody in high school or middle school or college. She was waiting as well for marriage. And so it can be a very, very wonderful thing if you do it like this. Now, let me tell you how to prepare your child. Quickly, just give you a few principles. How do you prepare your child for this? How do you introduce this to your child, get your child ready for this? First of all, introduce it early. Introduce it early. You don't want to wait until your daughter is a sophomore in high school and she's falling in love with the senior quarterback. And then you say, well, by the way, I think you should probably wait until you're ready to get married before you're dating. You want to introduce this to her very early. And I start talking about this to my kids. It's very early. I mean, Elle, she's 5, she's in kindergarten, she's already been introduced to this. She doesn't understand much, but you start talking to it right away, right away. How early did little girls and boys get boyfriends and girlfriends? Kindergarten, first grade, second grade. So you got to start talking about this very, very early. By the way, one of the ways that we can help each other in the church is don't ask my daughters if they have boyfriends. And I'm not going to ask your kids, do you have a girlfriend? Because what that does is it places expectations on our kids that, am I supposed to have boyfriends? Am I weird because I don't have a boyfriend or a girlfriend? So let's not ask each other's kids that. Don't place that expectation on them. So introduce it early to them. Letter B, nurture their relationship with Christ. Remember, this is your priority as a parent, is helping them become fully devoted to Jesus. And the more devoted they are to Christ and to living life in its totality as a worshiper, I mean, in every arena of their life, then the ideas of courtship become more palatable. They become more understandable. I can see how courtship helps me with my main priority, which is living for Christ. If their main priority is living for Jesus, staying pure, being the kind of spouse he wants them to be, all this stuff, then the ideas of courtship make a lot of sense to them. If they're not in love with Jesus, if you haven't nurtured their relationship with Christ, then courtship is going to feel like shackles to them. It's going to feel like handcuffs. But if they're in love with Christ, this is going to make sense. Letter C, help them to view their singleness as a great opportunity. In our world, in our society, a lot of times singleness is treated like a curse to be avoided. You do not want to be unattached. Teach your kids that's not the case at all. In fact, God calls some people to stay single for life. In some instances, God says it's not good to marry at all. It might be better for you to remain single for life. So having romantic relationships is not the key to happiness. In many instances, it's the key to sadness and sorrow. So teach your kids to make the most of their single years. I wrote this in another sermon on dating. Singleness is a season with a purpose. And God's purpose while you are single is to prepare for the future. God wants to build your character. He wants to build your faith. He wants to give you a clear vision for your life and place a clear calling on your life. He wants to teach you what you should look for in a potential mate. He wants to prepare and equip you for your future vocation or job. He wants to prepare you to be a parent, a mom, or a dad. God has a lot to accomplish in you during a very short amount of time that you are single. Make the most of your single years. Letter D, lead them to develop convictions about abstinence and compatibility. These are biblical convictions. These are things that are not optional for Christ followers. So you want to teach these things to your kids from very early. But by abstinence, I'm talking about remaining pure, sexually pure, until marriage. And that's emotionally, visually, physically, mentally. In every way, sex belongs in the context of marriage. And so you want to teach them to remain abstinent, to save that part of their lives until marriage. 1 Thessalonians 4:3, God's will is for you to be holy, so stay away from all sexual sin. And then compatibility is another conviction you want to teach them. And that is essentially, you want to teach them the things that they need to look for in a potential spouse. You're the one who needs to teach them what to look for in a good wife or in a good husband. And the most essential thing is faith. I was just talking about somebody before church about this. You want to teach your child, of course, only marry a Christian. Therefore, you're only going to date a Christian. But listen, there's lots of varieties of Christians out there. There's lots of different types of people that use that C word to describe themselves. But you know as well as I do that Christian to one person doesn't mean the same thing as Christian to another person. It can mean very different things. You know, Mormons consider themselves Christians. And so what we're teaching our kids is, what we mean by spiritual compatibility is you want to find somebody who believes as much the same as you do as possible. I was so blessed because I was born and raised in a Southern Baptist church with Southern Baptist parents, and I was very careful. Lydia was born and raised in a Southern Baptist church with Southern Baptist parents. I mean, we have a very similar background, very similar spiritual background. That helps huge, big time. Teach your kids about compatibility. These are commands. These are non-negotiables. And the thing is, when you teach them those, then courtship becomes a way for them to pursue abstinence, a way to pursue compatibility. Courtship is if they've developed these convictions, then courtship is a way to help them do that. If you don't teach them these convictions, then courtship doesn't make much sense to them. So, in conclusion, listen, you don't have to lead your kids to do dating this way. You're not going to get kicked out of the church or anything like that if you just want to do the normal thing with your kids, as long as you stay within biblical boundaries. What I want to do as a pastor is help you to live wisely, give you an alternative. This is what we're doing with our kids. This is what Lydia and I did ourselves. And we see so much wisdom in it. And now the choice is yours. There's a couple of books that I want to recommend. I Kissed Dating Goodbye is a very popular book. I Kissed Dating Goodbye. And the other one, and that's by Joshua Harris. I Kissed Dating Goodbye. And the other one is Passion and Purity. It's a classic by Elizabeth Elliot, Passion and Purity. These are required reading for my kids when they reach fourth, fifth grade. In fact, Carter is in the middle of I Kissed Dating Goodbye. She's in fifth grade. And Mary is in fourth grade. She's reading Passion and Purity. He's almost done with that. These are they talk about compatibility, abstinence, dating, courtship, all that stuff. Very, very good books for you and for your kids, okay? All right, well, let's pray together. Why don't y'all stand with me? I know you've been sitting down long enough. Any questions? Good, thank you. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to come and learn, Lord, and we ask you to take the seeds that were planted this morning. And I pray, Lord, that you grow something beautiful in the lives of our kids and the lives of the families in our church. I pray, Lord, for all the people in our church that weren't here today, that they would take the time to listen to this, God, and learn these principles. Help us to honor you, Lord. Help our kids to be most focused during their single years on Jesus, on growing closer to you, on living for you. Help us to model that as parents and as fellow church members for each other's kids. We pray for all of the kids in our church, all the singles in our church, Lord, that you would pick out for them and prepare for them a godly, like-minded, compatible spouse, that you build wonderful Christian families in our church. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, Amen. Thank you all for your attention, your time. It's good to see y'all. God bless you.